What up, LoveQuest Nation? You are listening to the latest episode of our SOS Saturdays experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy!
Man, how you guys doing? Good? I'll ask you one more time. How you guys doing? Good. Good to see you all. Can you put up Leviticus 6:12? I think the greatest thing about those videos is all the people in the background that's jumping around, and that's amazing to look back on and watch. Can we turn the lights on in the house? I want to see some people's face. Yeah, I think so. One of these, maybe the one in the back. Oh, sure. Amen. That's beautiful. All right, can you put up Leviticus 6:12? While they're doing that, can we give it up for our first-time attendees one more time? Amen. Leviticus 6:12 says this, "And the fire upon the altar shall be what?" All right, that's three people that can read. Amen. "And the fire upon the altar shall be what?" Okay, a few more. This is just a couple more that we need. "And the fire upon the altar shall be what? Kept." What should it be kept doing? Burning on it. It should be burning. It should be kept burning. You can turn me down a tiny bit. Everybody has seen a fire before, right? Like, especially out here, everybody likes to go out on the beach and do a bonfire. Even when we're not supposed to, we get out there and sneak a fire. And we've seen fireplaces. And one of my favorite fireplaces is the, not the gas stove, the, yeah, it is the gas. No, it's not the gas stove. Wood burning stove. But the, no, but it's the old school. It's the kind you only can find in the woods. Totally messing with you. But it, you gotta start it. You gotta kindle it. It's not one of these little cheap ones where you can buy it and burn the bag and get a little log that give you 8 hours. This is the one you gotta keep feeding. Some of y'all like, yeah, but I'm looking for an answer. What? There you go. Wood burning stove. Okay, somebody said that. All right, my bad. Wood burning stove. I suck at starting those. I can keep one though. I know how to keep it lit. And there's some of us in here that God's okay with you not knowing how to start a fire. So he'll put you around fire starters. You have to be defiant to not keep it lit. There's wood there. All you got to do, grab the wood, put it in the fire, just stoke it a little bit. Close it, and the elements will take care of the rest. I'm preaching already. You waiting for an introduction. This is it. The elements, the wind, the Holy Ghost, the Word will handle the rest. The Bible tells us the way you have revival, I'ma start it. You got to keep it lit. Therefore, you should not be waiting for revival. You should be faithful over the revival that's within you. And guess what you do? Spread it. Spread it. We have moments like we had last Sunday night, Sunday before that, and here at LoveQuest, they're pretty often. And the testimonies I've gotten all week, I would be a fool to come back in here and be like, God, do it again. Do what? Light the fire again? No. All week we should have been doing what? Putting a log in there. And then what happens if everybody throughout the week keeps a log going, keep the fire going? When we come together, what happens? Fire gets bigger. And it's this ongoing lifestyle of people that are on fire for Jesus that when they come together, man, revival is here. It's here. It's here. It's in the city. It's here. It's just the reason it's not as big as people think. For one, we're looking for something that revival may not be. For two, we're too divided, so we got a bunch of little fires. That's what we're going to do October 31st. We're going call the church out, as many people as possible, and we're going to worship right in the center of downtown at Jackpool Plaza. That's what we're going to do. And hopefully a bunch of on fire people come out. Okay? Keep the altar, keep the fire burning. Look, it shall not be allowed to go out. Are you one of them people who will insist on not letting nobody put your fire out? This is what the word says. Don't let it, don't allow it to go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every single morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Every day, wake up and give your best offering. That's how you keep it lit. Give God your best. Amen. Welcome to Catholic Saturdays. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this word tonight. Yeah, I thank you for the fire burning in this place. Yeah. It's too cold to be quiet. It's too cold to be quiet. And we thank you, Father, that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart that's willing and says, yes, Lord. We come against any error. We come against any religiosity. And we thank you, Father, that our intellect does not get in the way of revelation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And so we thank you that even the little ones will get something. So Holy Spirit, feed us tonight, that we may give you the glory out of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Everybody give me a good amen real quick. Amen. I'm going to dive in tonight back into the power and price of vision. 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 I've gotten a lot of testimonies and feedback from when we started it a week ago. Was that a week ago? Yeah, a week ago. And I'm excited that people are getting challenged. That's what you should go do. When you come to church, you should get challenged. If you leave church feeling good but not challenged, I don't know what to say. But maturity can have joy because it was challenged. You get what I'm saying? Some people leave upset when they get challenged. But maturity is excited when it gets challenged. Because maturity says, man, God is not letting up on me. He keep on coming down my aisle. God, can he stop talking about that? But love won't let him. The first question we should be asking, the first question we should not be asking is, what's my purpose? You can bring it down. You can bring it real down. That's most of the time what we go through this life looking for. We're reading books for what? Purpose. Now, I challenge myself to be a thinker. And you know, in your house, there's a way in and there's a way out. There's a side door, there's a front door, there's a back door. There's many ways to get to the revelation. In some ways, tonight, I'm going to go through the back door. I'm going to challenge our thinking. You're going to hear it initially and say, what? And then you're going to say, ah. And then there's some stuff you're going to hear and you're going to say, what? Man, I don't know if I can come back here no more. Because I am not the person that have to unpack your mail for you. There's some stuff you're going to hear tonight. You may not understand it right now, but guess what? It's your responsibility to go home and open your own mail. All right? But you should be asking God, where do you need me? Troy, that's a whole nother question. What's my purpose is about me. But where do you need me leads to a selfless life. He tells Abraham, he says, go to a place that I will what? Show you. If you get rooted in the right place, you'll collide with the right purpose. We often want the purpose first, but the purpose is at the place. And if you're not willing to go to the through the process to get to the place, you might get your purpose twisted. So it should be. Little kids, it's like, God, mom, dad, where are we going today? What can I do to get something today? But if you're really after relationship with God, it's where do you need me is the vital question. Because a true son says, God, it doesn't matter what it feels like or look like. If you need me there, I'm there. Right? You know, you got some of those ride or die friends. That's like, wherever you need me, I don't know how to do it. Give me an hour. I'll read a book. I'll watch a YouTube video. But out of covenant, I'll be where you need me. And oftentimes we get in long, drawn out arguments with God because where he needs me doesn't look like where my purpose is. And oftentimes we forfeit the place because we don't like the feeling of the process. And if we never get to the place, do you understand that I don't know all God had. I didn't know my purpose coming here. I knew a little bit. God told me enough to get me to Canada. But it wasn't to Canada that I found out that we were planting a church. People ask all the time, I don't know. I didn't come here to plant no church. I did not come here, nor did I dream here. God told me to tell some of the leaders the other day, look, you're not helping the Richmonds plant a church. LoveQuest is not the Richmonds' dream. LoveQuest is God's dream. And this church is just as much as your church is my church. Amen. Have you ever thought about God's dream was LoveQuest and you was in that dream? Not you here to help me. You're not here to help me. We here to help the purpose that God has for everybody that walked through that door. LoveQuest is an incubator. It is a place for you and I. I'm growing here. I'm learning here. I'm challenged just like you. I don't want to come sometime just like you. I don't want to see you sometime just like you don't want to see me. But I will never forfeit the place because of a person. Because I found out that when I get there, he told Abraham, I will show you as you go. He said, leave familiarity, leave. You don't need all the answers now, just go and I'll show you. And purpose is discovered as you go. You ready for this? You ready for this? Purpose is not a destination. It's a vehicle. Oof. Oof. Purpose can change. God can need you to be a pastor one season and next season be an evangelist. God can need you to start something and somebody else comes and keep it and then somebody else come and finish it. You don't marry purpose. And all we're doing is living for purpose. No. You living for God. You were made to worship God. And let me tell you this. If God alone doesn't satisfy you, purpose won't. Sheikah, Stevie Wonder, Halloween. God vision is always connected to soul vision. There's nothing God will have you do that does not have a soul at the end of it. All God cares about is souls. God vision is always soul vision. It's all about the soul wealth of his created ones. God's vision is about his heart, not your needs. He says, seek me first and all that stuff will be added to you. Delight in me, and you will get the desires of your heart. God's vision is about his heart, not your needs. Don't twist God's vision for you with your desires for you. We often think that God's vision and purpose for us has to do with what we desire. So if I say, and the reason it's put here, he says, if you say alone that all my vision has to do with souls, then what we'll do is we'll chase a soul that we desire and call it God's purpose for our lives. Desires and vision can get twisted together. And a lot of times we've blamed God and said that what we've gotten in our desires was his purpose for us. I think J. Cole says, I forget how he said it, but in other words, he said, you don't want to do well going the wrong way. Proverbs 29 in the Message. If people can't see what God is doing, not if people can't see what God did. Abraham would have killed his son if he focused on what God did or what God said. But because Abraham heard what God said or was doing, he stopped. And God said, no, I just want to see if you was going to go do it. And way too often we stuck on what God said. And sometimes God can say something to get us started, to get us moving somewhere, to get us going in a certain direction. The promise does not change, or what he has predestined does not change, but the process can change. Process is changeable, right? No matter what, the football team is trying to get it into the end zone, but they may have to call a what? Audible. The plan to score has not changed. The route to get there can change. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they what? Attend. Attention to what he what? Reveals, they are most blessed. Say, I'm most blessed. If people can't see past their flesh, can't see past their feelings, can't see past the news, can't see past YouTube, can't see past what they feel, if they cannot see what God is doing, and sometimes you cannot base what God is doing, you can't base that on what the world is doing. You can't base it on what it looks like. You can't base it on what it sounds like. You can't base it on if it makes sense. If God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. What's stumbling? Wavering. Inconsistent. Up, down, unstable. Bible says a double-minded man or woman will be stable in all, unstable in all their ways, right? When they attend to what he reveals, right? I'm preaching you the word. The Holy Spirit will give you the message. What he reveals, they are most blessed. TPT says this, when there is no clear prophetic vision, what kind of vision? People quickly wander astray. You can't wander when you have clear vision. Right? The issue is not the other person. The issue is not the world. The issue is not the preacher. The issue is not the man, the woman, the food, the diet. The issue is none of these external things that we put before us. for not taking responsibility for what God is telling us. But when you follow the revelation of the word, when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. The Amplified Classic, let me give it to you three ways. Where there is no vision, no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. Not only who he is, Natalia, but who he is today, Natalia. Who he is in this situation, who he is at my job, who he is, how he needs me, what he's saying. Where there's no redemptive revelation of God, the people what? Perish. That's why through COVID, we're not leading love quests based on what the government is saying. Yeah, we're obeying the laws and all that, but if I would have stood for the last 7 months and LoveQuest navigated based on the report of our government, shame on me. I saw a pastor friend the other day in the mall. He's like, yeah, we just decided, the board decided the other day we moving out the building. I was like, oh, you going to that other building we was talking about? He's like, no, we just going. And I don't want to get off track, but man, it's not God's plan. We don't make it through calamity, through darkness, through obscurity. But when you get off track and when you're not led by prophetic vision, you quickly get off. You got to lead your family with prophetic vision. If marriage is a God institute, then men, you are the prophet of your family, and you have to lead your household based on what God is saying in that season for your family. You have to speak over your children based on what God says. You can't lead God's people without prophetic vision. He hungry, huh, sweetie? Amen. Redemptive revelation. It's the action of saving, or let's say redemption, sorry. The action of saving or being saved from what? Error or what? Evil. Another definition for redemptive is, or redemption is, clearing a debt. Listen. Prophetic vision is kingdom revelation that sets free. So when you saying you hearing from God, is it setting you free? Is the vision you say God is giving you setting you free? Is the people, persons, place that God told you to go, is it setting you free? Because this is what you gotta say, Pastor Dylan. God will have more respect, honor the man or woman that says, nah, I ain't really heard from the Lord, but this is what I want to do. First, he said, I don't like them lukewarm. Right? I think that's how the Lord used Paul. He like, oh, he gangster. He on fire for what he believe in. I can use that. And he did. See, God can't use middle of the road, lukewarm. Where you hear one day, that one day is based on emotion, based on feeling. No, he cannot use that. This is how, we can't just live by the seat of our pants as Christians. And then throw in Jesus' name, or throw I heard from the Lord, kinda. No, let's look at the fruit. Is it leading? Is what you want to do? Is the business you want to start? Is the relationship you want to be in? Is the person's place or thing you want to be with, or the place you want to be at, is it leading to freedom? If it ain't leading to freedom, it ain't God. Just say, I want that, regardless of what God says, I want that. Prophetic vision leads one to what? Freedom. And it's only a matter of time. If you're not experiencing freedom, you fall away, man. I've tried my own way. I tried what I felt. I tried what looked good, what sounded good, what was easy. I tried it. But it didn't lead to freedom. It was stress. It's more stress to keep it than it is to let it go. You're going to have stress either way, but it's going to cost you a whole lot more. Proverbs 29, back to it, amplified. But he who keeps the law, say keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. So he says the word perish was in that passage. The people what? Perish. It means they fall off. They lose control of themselves or their lives. Or they lose focus, but they lose control. They go wild. They detour. And here you go, Elder Roseanne. This is how you know. There's confusion. We've all sat with, talked with confusion. Confusion leads to mental abuse. Yeah. This is what the scripture says. The people, when they don't follow God's vision, they get confused. See, especially Christians, because it's like we the worst thieves, man. I'm telling you, we the worst everything that ain't God. Because we confuse. We do it and then we like, oh my God, God, I love you. Right? You smoke weed with somebody and you praying before you smoke it. Because you got this God thing going on, but then you got this flesh thing going on. Trust me. You don't want to be smoking, man. We got to get our lives right. God been so good, man. What is that? It's because you're not following God's vision. Confusion sets in. And then after confusion, condemnation and guilt and shame. Then it says keep the law. The word keep means is a militant word. Say militant. It's a militant word. It means to guard, retain, to store up. It means if I keep the word of God, it keeps me. And in this context, if I keep the revelation of God, the rhema word, not the logos alone, but what he's saying to me every day, I got to hold on tight to. I don't find nowhere in the Bible where it say, go to Canada. But I find places where he tells somebody to go. I find places where you see God's behavior and things when he's walking with people. You can't just take this part of the Bible and a few parts next to it. You got to take the Bible in its entire counsel. Jesus was in Genesis. All the way through to Revelations. Oh, that's my alarm. I thought that was grace. Amen. I'm sorry, y'all. Militant, it's word. When you keep the word keeps you. When you keep the word keeps you. You go through some pressure moments, and guess what rises up? Every time, what rises up is the word. It guards your mind. Even when you want to lose your mind, when you have kept the word will keep you when you can't keep yourself. Why? Because it's a covenant, Natalia. It's a covenant. He said, I'm watching over my word and I will perform it. So if he's a covenantal God, when you can't keep yourself, he gonna do his part to keep you. When you can't protect yourself, he gonna protect you. Keeping the word. Then he says, happy. Everybody want to be happy. But not everybody that has happiness is content. So we talking Bible happy, not for real happy. Bible happy. Content. Excited. Fulfilled. And prosperous. Not everybody happy is fulfilled. Not everybody happy is content. But he says, when you keep this word, you'll be happy. You'll be blessed to be envied. You will be content. You will be excited. You will be fulfilled. You will be fulfilled because you keep the word, not because something or someone you have. Fulfillment is in him. Generations are destroyed because prophetic vision, truth, and understanding is or gets lost in translation over the years. Listen to what I'm telling you. Generations. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it goes forward. It says, because the priests refuse to teach, to pass it on. If you're not living by prophetic vision, what are you passing on to the next generation? There's generations that get destroyed or is always fighting from behind because there's a generation that takes off from being kingdom. And whatever kind of Christian you are, you will pass that on. Vision distinguishes people and generations. We always point to generations that had great revival breakout. Well, it's our turn. It's our turn. Vision distinguishes people and generations. You can see people that is following a vision, is focused, fixed. Because we'll see later, tonight, tomorrow, one of them. But the vision may tarry. This is why you have to stay focused. Because the vision has an arrival date. Listen, don't go ahead of me, please. How we listen impacts how we hear. You do know these impact vision. How we listen, this is very, we're often, I don't know about you, maybe your mom and daddy was super smart when you was born, but I don't remember my mama teaching me how to listen. That's what she was doing when I got a spanking. When she used to whoop me, that's when, but that's not, we're often taught how to talk. We're taught how to talk intelligently. We're taught how to read. We're taught how to sing. We're taught how to harmonize. But a part of being able to sing well and harmonizing is the ability to hear. You can hear people tone deaf. For real. Tone deaf. Tone deaf. How many different tones do you know is speaking? Daily voices. And we often have trouble hearing the right tone or the right voice. How you listen impacts how you hear. It's very important. If you're gonna have prophetic revelation, you have to tune your ears. How we hear then impacts how we see. So how you listen impacts how you hear, and how you hear impacts how you see. Yeah. Yeah. We're all in this room today, and we're going to all walk away with something different. That's why we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Because of how they saw and how they heard Peter was a little bit more hasty. He was ready to knock somebody out. Peter was, right? You see these disciples, how they walk with God. Peter swore he wasn't going to betray Jesus. And I believe Peter really did believe at the time he wasn't, until he got put under pressure. Judas. Luke saw through the lens and heard through heard through being a doctor. John would miss the love of man. Right? He heard through that, right? Luke is a little more technical. He's a doctor, right? And so how we hear impacts how we see. Oh, we ain't gonna have time to go through. But you gotta understand, your hearing has been impacted either by your renewed mind or your experience growing up. If you do not renew your mind, you will hear and see, or shall I say listen, through brokenness. This is very important, because vision can be birthed out of brokenness. And 9 times out of 10, the way you listen is based on your experiences. Here we go. Mark 4 says this: things are hidden temporarily, only as a means to what? Revelation. You got to seek them. See, you got to seek God to get God's stuff. Why? Because he's protecting it from our perverted minds, our perverted hearing. See, to go study takes a certain mindset. To pursue God's pure, unadulterated word takes a certain mindset. But it also takes sacrifice. For there is nothing hidden except to be what? Revealed. Nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made what? Known. God wants to give it to you. If any man or woman has ears to what? Hear. Let him or her be what? Listening. And let him or her what? Perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful. You ready? What you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear, right, will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Be careful what you are hearing, because that will become your truth. Has fear ever talked to you? And it was your reality. You swore somebody was talking about you. You swore somebody didn't like you. You swore you wasn't going to get X, Y, and Z. You swore that voice, that tone was in your mind, and it tainted your perspective. You thought they was against you, and they was actually trying to pursue you, not to hurt you. I know I'm not talking to just myself. Everybody in here has been betwixt, has been duped, has been confused. Everybody in here has, you talking to somebody and you like, wait a minute, how did you hear that from what I said? You so beautiful today. You trying to be funny? What? I really mean you beautiful. You got something up your sleeve. No, you see, so what is that person listening through? No matter how much I compliment you, you still insecure. No matter how much I serve you, you still afraid there's a hidden motive. Because of something that has happened in the past, you switched out your ears. So when you renew your mind, you change your listening. Um, How you hear then impacts your perception. So if all you've been doing is listening to the news and finding YouTube videos and all COVID, last day, conspiracy. Guess what you got faith for? COVID, last day. Conspiracy. Whatever it is, that's what television does a great job at doing. That's why certain songs go to the charts, right, top of the charts. That's why I buy Old Spice, because they got a bigger budget for deodorant and they got a lot of commercials that go on. So when you go look at 30 different deodorants, guess which ones stick out? Old Spice. I am convinced Old Spice is great. No, it's good. It's good, but then you got to figure out which one is good, because not every scent smells good on you. Hey, Pastor T, what's that deodorant? Oh, I'm going to go get that one. Then you put it on your light-skinned self, and that don't smell the same on light-skinned people. It's chemistry. Smell, it's chemistry. Over here trying to use what I use. All right, you may be able to do the hippie deodorant with no kind of antiperspirant in it or none of that. I can't put that on. Certain perfume, certain cologne, it needs what? Chemistry. Right, and the same thing with purpose, the same thing. God made you a certain way. And everything everybody else is doing, something may work for them, but it may not work for you. That's not going to bring the greatest smell out on you. It's not going to bring the greatest behavior out of you. How you hear impacts your perception. Perceive. To obtain knowledge through the senses. To receive impressions from by means of the bodily organs. To take cognizance of the existence, character, or identity of by means of the senses. To see, hear, or feel. To take intellectual cognizance of. To apprehend by the mind. To be convinced of by direct intuition. To note, to remark, to discern, to see, to understand. Now, this is your secular definition of perceive. Although there's some truth to that, in the kingdom, there's a slight difference. Right, to where you like, I got discernment. The Lord said there's a gift called the discerning of spirits. Not merely the discerning of evil and good, to where you could tell somebody their business and you be nosy. Like skillful nosy people got discernment. But as a believer, we've come, the gifts are given to us so that people may profit. Therefore, there's the gift of discerning of spirits. There's being able to see into and behind behavior. Behind motives, it is the spirit of this, is the gift of discerning of spirits. So it's not about how you feel. But God uses our senses. He uses our intuition. He uses our intellect. But we can't idolize our intellect. For example, Isaiah 43 says this. Stop dwelling on the past. Don't look at the past as a marker of what I'm going to do today. Don't look at your past behavior or patterns and base what I'm trying to get to you and through you today. Do not base your success today on a failure in the past. It may not have to work 3 months ago, but I said try it again. Peter, I know you were fishing all night long. But I'm asking you to drop the net one more time. I don't care how it looked, drop the net one more time. So it goes against what Peter is thinking. And God says, listen to me. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care how it seems. Drop the net one more time. And the greatest harvest he's ever experienced. And what God is trying to do in our lives is to go against. He's trying to get something new into our lives. But we got to be willing to let go of last night. He said, don't even remember these former things. Stop reminiscing. Let it go. Stop being condemned. Let it go. Stop being guilty. Let it go. He says, I'm trying to do a new thing. I'll get to that. Paralyzed potential and a pastime focus delays and can kill progress and promise. Paralyzed potential. You know, something have potential, but it ain't what the potential is. It's just potential. Look, faith don't deal with potential. Faith is right now, today. Faith deals with what it is. We cannot base what we feel God is saying today on potential. We have to, he said, you shall know them by their what? Fruit. Fruit is here. Faith is now. Faith is. So it's very important when we're trying to hear from God, we're not basing it on potential. Abraham didn't know the potential. God said, leave, go, I'll show you. Ain't no potential in that. Go kill your son. Ain't no potential. He had faith that God had the ability to raise him up from the dead. You know, this is very important. If God has promised you something, and then he asked for it back, do you have enough faith to believe he'll raise it again? Do you have the same faith when you heard it's for you than when he say, give it back and let me work on it? See, he had faith. God said, hey, the promise is going to come through your son. And then later he said, I need you to go kill your son. Then he got there and he said, now I know. All I needed to see is if you were for me more than you were that. And a lot of times God is asking something completely back from you because it's an idol in your heart. Let me tell you what an idol is, something you can't let go. You've shelved it. That's what you do with trophies. You put it on a shelf. Shikapa. Isaiah 43 continues to say, I'm doing something brand new. I don't know about you. I love new stuff. Trinity, I love new stuff. I love new stuff. Something unheard of. I love what he's saying. It's like you can't, this is something you ain't heard of. Lord, rebuild it. Lord, recycle it. No, he's trying to transform the whole, a whole new thing. He don't want it to come out like a caterpillar with wings. It is a butterfly. You would have never knew that that thing was a caterpillar. You would have never thought something that was flying was crawling. You ready to settle for a caterpillar with wings. Crawling with wings, though. Lord, just put some wings on it. We don't even need to fly. Just put some wings on the caterpillar. Oh, Troy. Don't settle for no crawling butterfly, bro. How many people in here have or willing to, even in this moment, willing to settle for a crawling butterfly? You know how stupid that look? Woo. Do you know that the wings, although they look beautiful, if it was still stuck crawling, the wings would actually hinder it from crawling. Settling hinders you. Because God is never meant to give you part of a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Even now, it sprouts and grows and matures. Here you go. Don't you perceive it? Can you not see I'm trying to do something new, Jazz? I'm trying to do something new in your life. I know you're tired of hearing this scripture because we always bring it up. But some of us ain't got it yet. He still ain't took it out the Bible. It's still there. Do you perceive the brand new vision? Say vision. Here we go. I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. See, you're thinking that God is asking you to let things go or to move certain places or to advance in certain ways to keep you in the same place. Just because you can't see it don't mean God can't do it. What are some filters that we actually see or listen to? Sorry. Listen through. These are real things. I'm asking now that you have ears to hear. Some filters. You know, we got certain apps. I got ProQuil. What's that, Trudy? I think it's ProQuil. All kinds of apps that you could pop a picture in and throw something cool on it, like a filter or something. Right? Folks Photoshop their face. So you need to get the little Photoshop the pimple out. Just Photoshop the pimple out. Right? Because we want to present ourselves well. And this is what you got to understand. If you haven't checked yourself, if you haven't renewed your mind, if you have not walked in your freedom, if you don't listen from freedom, you're listening through a filter. See, just like IG, if I was just hanging out with Dill, me and Dill just took a selfie, right? And Dill just had this big old pimple on his face. And then I went home and I saw the picture and I'm like, where'd a pimple go? Hey, see, real ones know the pimple was there. Filters only fool folks that's not walking with God with you and for you. So you can fool whoever you want, but I know the pimple on your face, Dill. Just show the people the pimple. This is very important because filters are deceptive. I have pursued many visions because I saw through a filter. Listen, the filter doesn't hide you. It just presents something different. My wife and I went out to Oakland, California from Calvary Christian Center in Sacramento thinking we heard God go plant. I swear we heard God. We heard God. But we look back and I'm like, I heard him, but I didn't hear the whole thing. I heard him, but the filter made me miss the timing. And so we went, and because God is faithful, we still grew from it. But guess what? Before we came to Canada, we had to go back and humble ourselves. Listen, 4 years later. For 4 years, we were walking in a filter. And once you make the decision, you got to do everything that you can do to prove you heard them. And that's the hard thing. You're following a vision that God may have told you, but timing, place. We heard plant. But listen, you ready? I thought Oakland. because that's where I'm from. My feelings was there. Familiarity was there. But underneath it, I thought it would be the easiest place because family was there. And what you don't realize until you get there, family is family. They not your church. It's no different. And when I came, somebody wanted me to be here because of who I was as an evangelist. But when I got here and was walking in the authority of an apostolic leader, it was too much. And you think you're gonna like something until you show up as that thing. You might be a great boyfriend, don't mean you're gonna be a great husband. I'm preaching in this thing right now. I'm preaching in this thing right now. But we want that. We want that. And we got out there and we humbled ourselves and moved back to Sacramento. We could not go from Oakland, California to Canada. It wouldn't have worked. We had to go the route was set. And I thank God that he rerouted us. Within that period of time from leaving Sacramento and coming back, we lived in like four places. Guess who we carrying around? Our children. Guess what they doing? Building relationships with friends and now have to say bye. It's not about you. What vision are you following? You must have a vision. Here you go. Filters. Offense. Have you dealt with offense? Have you dealt with your parents offending you when you was a little kid? Molestation, rape, whatever it may be. Have you dealt with the offense of that one person breaking your heart? Have you dealt with the offense? Because it's no different. You break up with one, you go in the next, and some of the same fears you had because of how that went is brought into here. It's a filter. And therefore, you build a vision. Like I've seen so many pastors, and I vowed, I will never do this. I will never plant a church out of trying to prove to somebody I'm a pastor. There's so many people that try to plant, start something, do something to prove people wrong. No, offense, insecurity, a filter. If you ever go through some of them apps, all filters have a name. Everybody got their favorite filter. Grandma, everybody got their little, like they little. Now understand, these are all filters. Insecurity. I'm sure everybody in here has made decisions out of this filter. And there's popular filters too, right? Poverty is a filter. You see everything through the lens of poverty. And poverty does not deal with money. Poverty is a mindset. It's not a lack of money. Because there's some folks that lack money in other countries and very wealthy in their soul. Smiling with that one tooth. We would have photoshopped 38 teeth in our mouth trying to look cool. You know what I'm saying? They out there one tooth just dancing, just gone, just happy. We over here with a house, all kinds of food, still unhappy, unsettled, poverty. Here's a big one. Rejection. Abandonment. This is a huge gateway for demonic influence. This is a huge gateway for addiction. Undealt with abandonment. And so you go through life making decisions out of fear. I am not going to let nobody leave me again. I'm going to leave them first. Rejection has paralyzed so many people. Have you dealt with it? If you haven't dealt with it, that filter may pop up at any given time. Fear. Filter. Fear. A filter. And we can go on and on about these filters. But you must fight to protect vision more than you protect your desires. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? That's good. You got to fight to protect vision more than you protect your desires. You know, when you that ice cream, that Häagen-Dazs, Dolce de Leche. Ooh, we protect that freezer. My kids know when to get it, when daddy gone. But how you going to put an empty carton back, though? Just throw it away. See, we will protect our desires more than we protect our vision. You got to sit on that one for a second. We will fight for what we want to do more than we fight for what we need to do. Listen, your vision, this is not on there, your vision cannot be motivated by the relieving of how you feel. You can't make decisions based on hoping to be relieved of a feeling or circumstance. Desires waver. God's vision is fixed. Desires waver. God's vision is fixed. I'm going to say it again. Desires change. See, my wife, she know me. When it comes to sweets, I'm not a big sweets person, but I binge on sweets. I remember when I discovered the little coconut watermelon drinks. Man, I was getting like six at a time and drinking three of them in bed. Oh, these healthy, this coconut water. No, see, I will binge on a treat. I'm not like long-term sweet tooth. I will binge. My desire, and then my desires change. You ever eat something so much you don't like it no more? Come on, that'll preach right there, EJ. That'll preach right there, EJ. See, what you don't want to do is become too familiar with something. That's why you got to let something go through its process. Desires waver. God's vision is what? Fixed. That's the only thing you can guarantee will succeed, because he's committed to watch over his word and perform it. Vision is not merely a great idea, concept, or dream. A good idea does not mean vision. Eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. Late Dr. Miles Monroe. Sight is the function of the eyes. Vision is a function of the heart. And when we say heart, we're not talking feelings. For we walk, or we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. For we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. Again, based on our experience, what we see can look totally different. If we walk by faith and not by sight, then we must live by vision, not by feelings. If we walk by faith and not by sight, then we must live by vision and not by feelings. I was watching this little crazy Netflix thing the other night. I forget what it was called, but it was so sad at the end. This dude married this young lady who went through a horrible marriage. And she had some disease, and she got well, and he loved her so much. And then he started, he went from like 200 something pounds to like 187. He got real stripped up. And then he started getting disconnected from her. A little distance. I'm not talking to a lot of singles. So you, when you marry somebody, you know when something up. And long story short, before you know it, she comes home from this work situation, training. This dude strangles her, puts her in the truck, takes their two little girls, put them in their baby seat while mama's under their feet, takes them to his job, which had these big oil tanks, digs a hole for her, puts her there. The two babies is alive. They crying. Now he's losing his mind. He takes the one baby, opens the oil tank, drops her in the oil tank alive, goes to the other tank, traumatizes some people. My wife's like, please don't tell them this story. Anyway, I watched it. Amen. And then this baby, no daddy, covers her, boom. Obviously, they found out. I would say go watch it. Whatever, depending on what you like on Netflix. But this dude did all of that because his desire changed. He got married because he was in love. But the family had no vision. Desire changed. And he does all of this so he can have this new vision. And what he thought was better. So the family wasn't driven by vision. They were driven by what they felt. And long term, what happens? Now he ends up with nothing. Neither person. Why did I go so extreme? Because desire is very strong. Desire is connected to passion. And you cannot live by desires and feelings. You gotta live by God vision. You can't live by what man say, what man think. You gotta live by God vision. And then when man is telling you vision and it aligns with God vision, then you kind of safe there. And when he's not saying you kind of safe, you still gotta hear for God, from God, for you. Feelings are really tricky. God's promises hinge on vision. We must manage the airways and highways of our heart, or God's vision will be hijacked. I mentioned this last week. We all have hijackers in our phone. Ding! Somebody popped up in your phone. Hijackers. Time thieves. Time thieves. Energy thieves. Vision thieves. Glory thieves. Don't want you to be glorious. Don't want you to be glorious. Don't want you to celebrate blessing. Time thieves, energy thieves, vision thieves, glory thieves. Matthew 16. From then on, this is very important here, Dylan. Because take that off of there. I said something last week to identify what a hijacker is. I said, good person, but vision for you doesn't align up with God's vision for you. Right? I should be teaming up with you, with God, to help him help you. If joy is his promise for you, guess what I should be trying to bring to you? Joy. I I want you to see this, because we think everyone that's good, everyone that loves us, everyone that likes us. I don't care who you are, my mama, my wife, my kids, you, I don't care. I will never, and you should never, compromise God's vision, God's word for no one. If God's promised you joy, guess what? Anyone trying to steal your joy, guess what? Compartmentalize. Listen. From then on, Jesus began to clearly reveal to his disciples that he was destined to go to Jerusalem and suffer injustice from the elders, leading priests, and religious scholars. Injustice from church folk. He also explained that he would be killed, but hold on, 3 days later, be what? Raised to life again. Here you go. Then Dylan comes and says, Pastor T, you tripping, bro. It said he reprimanded Jesus over and over, saying to him, God forbid, Terrence, don't do that. Spare yourself. Look, you must never let this happen to you. Listen, don't you think if I'm letting you know they about to come and get me, Troy, and they about to kill me, and it's one of your boys, it is right that you come to me and say, this ain't happening to us tonight. Pastor T, don't do that. No, you ain't, right? Based on how we all feel. Peter's not telling him anything wrong. They're in a great relationship. Peter is trying to protect Jesus. But Peter is also doing one thing. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get out of my way. And this is where we have a problem, is telling loved ones, get out our way. And Jesus says, you have to get out of my way, not because I don't love you and not because I think you don't love me, but you're an offense to me because your thoughts are only filled with man's point of view or viewpoint and not with the ways of God. You are asking me not to do something that God is asking me to do. Get out of my way. You're working for the wrong team. It doesn't matter the relief. It doesn't matter how close Elder Roseanne, Elder John, and my family is. Any time that they're going against God's word, they're going against my joy, they're going against my purpose, they're going against, even if it doesn't feel right, if God has asked me to do it, I first of all better know it, but for two, I have to be willing to sever the ties if it's going to sever my covenant. My covenant with God is way more important than my desires to be with you. Now, faith is. Ooh, it's some good stuff coming tomorrow. Some good stuff coming tomorrow. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things. Boom. We do not what? See. And the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the what? Senses. Now, faith is. Can you go back? Now faith is. Faith is now and faith is. Is is present. Now faith is. That's why I say it's not potential. It is. All I can base what God is saying is on what it is. I can't even make decisions that look like they're going to favor me. But also can't make decisions that look like they're not going to favor me. I just got to really know what my God is saying. And then I have to look at the fruit of that and not try to change the fruit. Right? There's some fruit you can cut the rottenness out. And then some fruit you just got to throw away. It's just too much rotten. You can't save that banana. It's all mushy. And the part that ain't mushy ain't worth eating. It's just too, it's too much. And some of it we try to cut it out. And sometimes as much as you want to save the leg, you might have to amputate it to save your life. God vision. Well, Pastor, what that got to do with vision? The price of vision. This is the power and the price of vision. If you want God vision, it's going to cost you faith. It's going to cost you process. And it's going to cost you tuning in to his voice. That still small voice, not that big obvious voice. Amen. Amen. If anybody got one, just one thing tonight, give God a big old hand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for vision, prophetic vision. We thank you, Father, that there's people in this room that will go down in the hall of faith. As Ezekiel saw dry bones, you saw an army. Yes. Yes, you saw an army in those dry bones, Lord God. So give us eyes to see. Give us a will to say yes, Lord. Give us courage and boldness to stand, to walk, to run, to do whatever it is you've asked us to do, Lord. We thank you that transformation is taking place, that our hearing is being tuned up. I come against offense. I come against the insecure spirit. I come against that fear. I come against that poverty. All those filters that get in the way from us seeing you and hearing you clearly. Expose the filters, Lord God. Expose the filters. The filters that make it look pretty, but you take off the fit. Lord, we want to see it in its purest form. Lord, we want you to get all the glory out of our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give your neighbor a big old round of applause. Come on up. You guys get some. I know. Them tough ones right there, Coach. Them tough ones right there. Right? There's many ways you could teach vision. You could teach vision and just tell everybody what they're gonna get and how they're gonna get. But vision is very tricky, especially in a world out here that's giving you so many options for vision. But if we're gonna walk in God's vision, it's gonna take some exposing. It's gonna take some looking under the hood. It's gonna take some reflection. It's gonna take some truth, some honesty, so we can really follow Jesus in these last days. I don't wanna miss it. I don't wanna start strong and finish bad. I don't wanna be one of those God's generals that impacted thousands of people's lives, but my witness was tarnished and it was tainted because of a lack of understanding. I want to be rooted not just on the word, but the pure word. You know, a lot of religions are based off of truth, but somewhere down the line, it got into some twisting.
That's right.
And it takes advantage of vulnerable people who start off something honest, pure intentions. But if it's not built upon the unadulterated truth, the word of God, man, vision will get tainted. It'll be like the frosty windows. You can still drive, you can still see, but not as clear. And I pray that this word helps you hit the defrost button so that you could see. And if your defrost button is broken, then hopefully we get it fixed so that you could see. That you can see in the storm, and when the winds blow, you can see. You can see when the waves hit up against your boat. You can see when persecution comes. You can see when you're weak. You can see when they're not rooting for you. You can see when you don't have everything you need. You can see. God just wants us all to see. There's so much deception going on in the world. But can we pause to get our vision straight? Just lift your hands right where you are. Say, Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Open my eyes.
Open my eyes.
Help me see.
Help me see.
Give me courage.
To obey.
All that God says. Say, Lord, I trust you.
Lord, I trust you.
All the way.
All the way.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTL Church. And join us next time as we dig into another powerful word. Enjoy the rest of your day. And in the meantime, get your love fixed, man. SOSOSOSOS, I'm not.